all the inventory you want. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com during their Make This the Summer event.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.
WFAN Sports Flash.
Powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices at 8 o'clock. This is Rich Ackerman. This report is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Reclaim your health with Athletic Greens. Visit athleticgreens.com/tiki. Mets and Reds are about to get underway at Citi Field after a brief rain delay with Carlos Carrasco on the mound against Mike Minor. The Yankees finally got back into the win column last night, routing the Mariners to halt a five-game skid. Miguel Andujar has been called up to take the place of Matt Carpenter on the roster. Gerrit Cole will try to avenge last Wednesday's loss when he starts against Luis Castillo. Anthony Rizzo remains out of the lineup with that sore back. Coverage on the Fan will begin at 9:30. The Jets have a big void to fill on the offensive line with Mekhi Becton likely done for the year with a fractured kneecap. He started 13 games as a rookie season, but played only in the season opener last year before getting injured, and now, again, likely done this year. And the Rangers will have a captain this year for the first time since Ryan McDonough was traded, with defenseman Jacob Trouba named to the post. And that's what's happening. I'm Rich Ackerman.
History is on our side.
Swung on and looked to shallow center field. It is a base hit. One run scores Bernie. Here's Matsui. He scores. Posada goes to second.
WFAN is the home of Yankees baseball.
The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Little LL, Sus dropping the beats in here. Queens, Keith McPherson on the Fan, checking back in. Hope you're enjoying your Tuesday night. Inside the 8 o'clock hour, drive safely wherever you're going. If you're listening on the Odyssey app at home, hopefully you're in the air condition, not sweating too much. The sun is going down now, so super hot day is coming to an end. The Mets are on. Game just started. We're two pitches in. And the Yankees are on their way. In 2 hours, we'll get Gerrit Cole versus Luis Castillo. But I wanted to talk about the J-E-T-S. The Jets, Jets, Jets. This Mekhi Becton story, to me, doesn't really hurt the Jets' chances. It doesn't really affect what the Jets could do this year that much. But it sucks. It's a damper. It's definitely a story that Jets fans are like, oh, it's the Jets, you know, just throw this into the rest of the stories up here. Typical Jets. This guy was a top pick, and you just heard Ack talk about him. But I want to say this. I just feel bad for the guy because he came out and he said he was going to make people eat his words. And you got to be careful getting ahead of yourself. You got to be careful just like, you know, with what you put out there in the universe, what you say. Like, words have power, especially when you're in sports and the media and they travel. So, you know, I feel like the guy was confident that he was going to have a big year, that he was going to return. And he said he was going to make people eat their words, you know, pun intended, I guess. He's a big guy and all they did was talk about him eating and how he was overweight and how he's a bust. And it's rough to see a guy like that worked back, go down with a season-ending injury before they even play the first preseason game. Football is rough like that. It's tough. And he's a young guy, and I heard Robert Saleh's comments, and I wish he said less. You know, New Yorkers say less. Like, say less is a phrase that New Yorkers use, but, like, people really have to, like, say less in certain settings. Robert Saleh initially came out and said that, you know, it was all right and, you know, it wouldn't be season ending and it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And then the next day, it's like, no, this is devastating for this guy. He's done this year and we're not sure about his career or his well-being or his mental health or his physical health or what's going to happen to this guy. He's got to, you know, go into rehab now when he was expecting to be on this Jets team that has added some players, changed some coaches, and looks to contend a little bit, looks to compete a little bit this year. He wanted to be a part of it. He was projected to be a starter. And I was listening to Evan talk about the Jets' offensive line, excited for Beningo to return. I think if you've listened to me, you've heard me tell my stories of driving Lyft, Uber in the afternoons, picking people up from work and taking people to the school or picking people up from school. And my standard radio station would be WFAN and listening to Joe and Evan. I'm pumped to hear that song on WFAN again and hear them talk about the Jets. But they, you know, Evan was talking about how they had the 11th ranked offensive line, the Jets, and Becton wasn't a part of that. So they stand to still be good. I'm sure Dwayne Brown is on the line. And as we go through the preseason, as we go through training camp, guys are going to get cut. The Jets will be fine. They'll figure out a fill-in. But it just sucks for Mekhi Becton, a guy that was trying to come back, was trying to kind of clear his name and get back on the field and right the ship. And, you know, injuries happen. Football is a rough game. At any moment on that field, you can go down with an injury and be out. And, you know, the Yankees are dealing with injuries. The Yankees are without Rizzo, Stanton, Carpenter. You've heard me say that. But there was an update from Brendan Cuddy on Twitter yesterday. He said Zach Britton is set to throw another live BP on Wednesday. Stanton has been doing baseball activities but had an off day from that. And Luis Severino is still in his throwing program. So the Yankees' injuries are what they are, but there's help on the way. And Aaron Boone's message to the Yankees, from what I was told, what I heard, was that this is the team. After the deadline, this is it. We have who we have, and we have all that we have to get to the championship, to the World Series, to win this year. This team is capable. There's enough talent on this team. And they just got to lock in and focus and get it done. And they did. And help is on the way on the injury front. And then you also have guys like Ron Marinaccio and Clark Schmidt in the minors and even Miguel Andujar in the minors, who's up to help the team tonight. So hopefully they get going. Another thing I wanted to add for Josh Donaldson, I read on Twitter. In his last seven games, he's 10 for 26, batting .385, two home runs, eight RBIs, six runs, raised his OPS 44 points. Josh Donaldson, you got to be a superstar right now. You got to be a star for the Yankees. At 25 mil, in the first year that the Yankees traded for you, they're relying on you. You can't be grounding out or striking out. We need good at-bats. And I'm interested to see what happens tonight with the bullpen. I'm hoping Gerrit Cole can go seven innings. You saw Chapman pitch well last night, got his confidence back, his swagger back, fielding his position. Throwing strikes, throwing the fastball for strikes. Clay Holmes, a little suspect, a little shaky still. We'll see the bullpen budget later. And I just hope that Cole can give us six, seven innings, and that we don't have to rely on the bullpen too much in the second game of this Mariners series. And then after tonight, there's the Wednesday getaway game and then a series in Fenway. The Boston Red Sox are down and out. They're in last in the East, and they get the news today that Chris Sale fell off a bike. He was riding a bicycle. I don't know if it was a motorcycle, but it's a bike. Maybe it was a motorized bike, and broke his wrist and had surgery, and he's done for the season. And if you remember, when he came back and he pitched against the Yankees, there was a comebacker hit to him, and he broke his pinky. So they're down and out. The Red Sox are done. The Yankees should absolutely sweep them this weekend. I don't care who they're missing. They should go into Fenway and sweep those bums. But got to handle business first in Seattle. Looking forward to this big rematch tonight, Cole versus Castillo, with Trevino catching Gerrit Cole. All right. Bunch of people on the line. Let's get to them. Let's move a little quicker. Joe is in Parsippany on the fan. You got it, Joe, J-O-E. Taking my eyes off the name.
What's up, Keith? Good to talk to you. I saw you that 13-inning Yankee game. It's good to talk to you, man.
Oh, okay. Well, so we've met. Nice to hear you on the phone, and good meeting you.
Absolutely. So, you know, honestly, when I heard the first thing I said to my buddy Vinny today, when I was my fellow Jets fan, was I was expecting this Mekhi Becton news. Eventually, you know, I actually think we're in a better spot for two reasons. One, all right, whoever goes in there at right tackle has a few weeks to prepare, and they have a few weeks to gel as a group. I do think Dwayne Brown gets in the room, you know, in Joe Douglas we trust. And you know what? You know, Robert Saleh and the organizational trust behind Mekhi Becton, I think they actually want to see him succeed. We're obviously picking, most likely picking an offensive lineman next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's to a better offensive line next year. You know, I'm really upset about it. I feel sick for him too, but I'm not.
You're not surprised. You're not surprised, and you're not worried. And I hate to say this, but it's the truth, right? You're not going to be depending on a guy that you haven't been able to depend on. And then also these injuries, it's football, yeah, but this wasn't a live contact injury. The guy just, I think he had a brace on and he stepped the wrong way. And I seen fans talking about it. They're like, well, this guy was out of shape. Maybe if he was in better shape the year before and, you know, coming in, maybe he could have avoided this. But I think it's just a freak injury. It's unfortunate. But I don't think it slows down the Jets, right? I don't think that the Jets are going to take a step back because they don't have a guy that they didn't even have last year.
I totally agree with you, and I want to make one thing really clear. I'm rooting for Mekhi Becton. The guy's going to come back stronger. He's going to come back better, and he's going to be part of this team moving forward. So let's go, Jets. I'm going to Green Bay in October, so I can't wait for that.
Awesome. I know there will be a lot of Jets fans out there for that. Joe, thanks for the call. I know BT set up something to take a trip to Lambeau. I've never been out there. That's on the bucket list. I, you know, if you're an NFL fan, of course you want to go to Green Bay and see the culture and the cheeseheads and how they do that out in Aaron Rodgers land. And I know there's a Jets trip plan with Brandon Tierney, and maybe it's through WFAN. I remember he was promoting that. So, man, football is right around the corner. We're about to be tonight watching Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks is back tonight. And as a matter of fact, I think the Jets little behind the scenes, what's it called? One Jets Drive, a new One Jets Drive. Let me check YouTube. I think that just premiered tonight. One Jets Drive. I think they put out new episodes. And, 11 minutes ago, 2022, One Jets Drive, Episode 1, New York Jets. So for the Jets fans out there, 11 minutes ago at 8 o'clock, they just dropped a new episode. I'm about to put that on my watch later and see what the Jets have been up to. The Jets have added a lot of talent to this team, some personalities to this team. I really look for them to take a step forward. It was a tough year last year, rookie quarterback, things not necessarily connected with the coaching, injuries, players they were depending on. But I think they've got talent and they've got a good chance to surprise some teams this year. When you're looking at their division with the Dolphins, with the Patriots and the Bills in that order as far as like how I think they'll stack up, the Jets should be able to steal a game from one of those teams, a couple games from the Dolphins and the Patriots, right? The Bills are juggernauts. We expect them to roll. But you expect the Jets to take a step forward and be able to compete, and I think they can. I'm interested to see what Mac Jones looks like in year two. Obviously, we're waiting to see what Zach Wilson looks like in year two, but even Tua, I feel like Tua is on shaky ground, and they loaded up over there. The Dolphins have a lot of talent over there, too. Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds are their running backs now. Now Miles Gaskin and Sony Michel are third and fourth running backs on that team, and they added Cedric Wilson to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, so you know their receiving core is looking better. Football is going to be fun. I'm so excited to get into fantasy football and start looking at, you know, what players people are projecting to be where and who the steals are and who to reach for and who to draft. That's always a fun time. And we're in the second week of August, so pretty soon fantasy football will pop back up. Let's go to Gene in Linden, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Gene?
Hey, man. Hey, let me tell you something. First, let me say I'm proud of you. I love your show. You're a great infusion to the Fan, and I really appreciate what you do on the radio.
Wow, that's thank you. One. Appreciate it, Gene.
Now, there's two things I want to talk about. First, I guess, obviously, is the Jets, but the Knicks as well. I think they should move on from Becton. You know, we've been waiting 3 years for this guy to come around. It's not going to happen. Either we have to draft somebody or somebody could step up that they have, but I don't think he's going to work out. What do you think?
I think it's just tough to say because he's hurt right now. They may make a business decision on him. They may decide to move on from him. And I think his contract, his rookie deal, let's see if I can find his rookie deal if it's up next year. No, his rookie deal isn't up till 2024. and then he'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2025. I think they're not gonna move on from him just yet. It's tough when you draft a guy that high. What was he taking, like 11th in the first round? Yeah, round one, number 11 overall. It's a tough story, but it could be a great story if he rehabs, comes back. Maybe this, you never know. Maybe there's a silver lining in all this. Maybe he really locks in on his diet. He rehabs, he lifts. The Jets win some more games this year, and next year he's able to come back and join a better team.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, but I just can't, you know. And I'm a diehard Jets fan,
and that's why you can't. That's why.
Yeah. Hey, I catch crap from the people on my job. They be killing me. Oh, you know the Knicks and the Jets. I get killed. Sometimes I don't want to go on to work the next day. Anyway, what do you think about this guy Julius Randle in the Knicks? Are we going to be able to get rid of him or what?
Oh man, I thought that should have been done already. The latest thing with Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson, I saw they were playing in like a pro-am tour, and it went viral in like NBA Twitter spaces. They lost in like a little pro-am tour by like 13 points with some guys that are not professionals, and people were reading way too far into that. I thought they were going to try and move Julius Randle. The way he went out last season, he didn't finish the season, and he had a lot of bad moments, from the thumbs down to flipping the MacBook and throwing chairs and snapping on people and telling the fans to shut the F up. I'm like, oh, they're definitely getting rid of this dude. He's not going to last in New York much longer. But they paid him.
Brother, don't you – but no, we don't. Look at when he didn't play the last week, the young guns, the young Jedis, as you like to refer to them, the young Jedi stepped up and they handled their business.
Oh,
they
yeah. Just need a chance. But I'm saying the Knicks gave him a contract. After he was most improved player, the Knicks paid him. So that was like the vote of confidence. That was the Knicks saying, hey, you are our guy. You are the leader. We'll get you a Jalen Brunson, and we'll start figuring some other things out. They should have made the move for Donovan Mitchell. I don't know what happened with that. There were some rumblings where I was thinking, oh, they were close. But who knows? You know, that probably won't happen now.
Well, hey, I appreciate you taking my call. Like I said, I'm a big fan. And keep doing what you're doing. You're great for the station. Thank you.
Thanks for the call and the compliments, Gene. Just trying to do the job. Couple things. Aaron Boone met with the media, and it just came out about 4 minutes ago. Jack Curry and Marley Rivera reported on it. Marley Rivera has video, but I'll read Jack Curry's quote. Boone said the Yankees are being really cautious with Anthony Rizzo, and they want him to get through a full workout today. If that goes smoothly, they expect he will start tomorrow. Aaron Boone on Anthony Rizzo's progress. He says he will likely play tomorrow, explains the team is being very cautious by not starting him today. Now, let me add this, because I know there's some people that have never heard me. There's some people that have heard me. And if you've heard me over time this season, I've said, hey, like, the Yankees are very stuck in their philosophy. They're very hard pressed in their ways of resting guys. Okay? As a fan, you can't get too upset when they rest players that maybe could have gone and you lose a game, because they're looking at the math, and I think they already consider themselves the AL East champions, and I think they'll worry about the number one or number two seed when we get to the last couple weeks of September. Right now, and since April, from the shortened spring training because of the lockout, they have rested players, starting players, consistently all year. It is part of a formula. I said I feel like they spit it out of a computer. Hey, this guy's got an issue, rest him. Scheduled rest. Like, Judge gets this scheduled rest where he'll DH. He'll have the day going into the off day off. Then he'll have the off day off where they almost give him like 2.5 days off. Like, extra rest. They'll let him play for a little while. Then they'll give him extra rest. So Anthony Rizzo, it was his birthday last night. You could tell the guy was smiling in the dugout. Judge hit a home run for him on his birthday. You could tell he wants to be involved. He wants to be in there helping the team, but they are cautious because the focus is October. So how much weight can I put into these July losses? How much weight could I put into the 5-game losing streak, when I know that they rest players and they're not afraid to lose a game here and there? Now, yeah, they needed to lock in. Yeah, they needed to stop making mistakes and play up. But when your favorite team, right, growing up is the Yankees, and you see guys like Derek Jeter and the captain talk about playing every day and not telling Joe Torre he was hurt, not telling Stevie Donahue he's hurt, not telling the medical training staff that he's hurt so that he could be out there, so that he could be in the lineup. Those times have changed. They've gone away from that. And I guess it's for the better good. It's for the health of the players in the long run. But for fans, it's tough. I mentioned before, last Wednesday, there were a lot of camps and teams and kids at the stadium to see Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge. And Cole stunk up the place. But Judge was resting. So imagine you're a kid and you know one Yankee. You have one favorite Yankee. Oh, Judge, I want to see Judge. And Judge is resting. These kids don't understand that, hey, this is scheduled rest, predetermined rest day for the AL MVP. We want him to be fresh when we get to October. And same thing with Anthony Rizzo here. Could Rizzo play tonight? Maybe. He's going through a full workout. The guy plays first base. He doesn't do that much running. He likes to steal a couple bases here and there. But it's a back issue. And, you know, back issues can flare up and they linger and one little tweak here. So they're being cautious. And I don't mind it because the Yankees are 71-39. They do have a 10-game lead in the AL East. And they have gotten back in the win column. And I think they can compete tonight and potentially steal this game. But I'm not going to be mad if they lose this game and say, oh, well, if Rizzo was in, it is what it is. But, you know, going back to with Stan, coming out of the All-Star game, Stanton wins AL MVP. And then they tell us, oh, he's just exhausted from All-Star. I guess his Achilles flared up, and he was sore and had an Achilles tendon issue. And they shut him down. We haven't seen him now. It's been a couple weeks. It's going on 3 weeks since we haven't seen this guy. This guy is one of the best players on the team, one of the best hitters on the planet. Could help when you're losing five games in a row, but the Yankees aren't going to rush it. They put Matt Carpenter on the 10-day IL. It's going to be more than 10 days with a fractured foot. But yeah, the Yankees are, you know, they're in their philosophy. You know what I think it is? If you guys remember back to 2019, that season, we learned of Gio Urshela, Mike Tauchman. Tyler Wade played more than he was supposed to play. Mike Ford played a lot because guys got hurt. And I think from that point on, we know that they changed the medical staff. They fired some guys in the training staff, and they took a different approach. And now the Yankees' approach is, hey, it's 162 games. We're going to rest these guys X amount of games. If they even look like they're hurt or something flares up, we're going to check on it. Remember when Judge dove and he broke his first rib up by his neck? And it was like it went undiagnosed. Nobody knew. That would never happen now. They'll take him right off the field and they'll figure it out. I think the Yankees learn from their own mistakes. This is their philosophy going forward, whether it's their sports medicine guys, their trainers, their training staff, whatever. It just is what it is. As a Yankees fan, you can't be too upset when your favorite players aren't playing. It's kind of like the NBA, load management. We hear that phrase all the time in the NBA, load management. They don't use that in baseball, but that's what it is. They are managing these guys' loads. Pause. It's load management for 162 games. They are making sure that these guys aren't playing every single day. They don't need them to play 160 games, 155 games. They want them to be ready to play every game in October so we can get to 28. Now, going back to the Knicks, I was talking to Gene about the Knicks, and I mentioned that Pro-Am tour. So it was Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and Obi Toppin. And I'm pulling up the article, and I just think Knicks fans, I'm a Nets fan, but like Knicks fans are reading way too much into these guys playing pickup basketball just to get reps with each other, right? Jalen Brunson is now a Knick. Just to get some early, you know, runs in, it doesn't matter who wins or loses. It's not for money. It doesn't mean anything. But in the article, it says, Brunson, Randle, and Toppin received a warm welcome from the New York City crowd before the Pro-Am League game inside one of Hostas Community College's athletic facilities, and they provided plenty of highlights. Toppin in particular wowed the fans in attendance with some signature slams and whatever. I guess they lost the game. You know, however, the trio's team fell by a final score of 110-97. It was a hotly contested game as one of the opposing players finished in Randle's face and flexed on the Knicks big man. Chill. I don't know why they wrote that like that. According to the New York Post, leading to some light shoving, cooler heads ultimately prevailed, and players could be seen taking part in customary conversations and handshakes after the final buzzer. Toppin was the high scorer among the Knicks players with 25 points. Brunson added 24 points. Randall contributed 18 points. They were unable to match Jordan Aaron and Jordan Washington, who each scored 40 points in their team's victory. You can find out more about that on ballislife.com. But what I'll say is this is New York, the mecca of basketball. Not just Madison Square Garden as the mecca of basketball. This is summer. There's some killers out here as far as, like, killers on the court. They might not be on NBA teams, but whoever these guys are that are dropping 40 in these pro-am leagues, maybe they didn't make it to the league, but they're good basketball players. They are good players on the streets of New York, grown men that can hoop. And if Jalen Brunson and Obi Toppin and Julius Randle walked into one of these games thinking it was sweet, it is what it is. They lost. But they're million-dollar NBA players, and they'll be just fine. I am excited to see what the Knicks look like. I'm excited to see what the Nets look like. Who knows? Could be a little bit of a shift here. We'll see what happens with Kevin Durant, but that's coming soon. Let's get back to the phones. As we get ready for the Yankees taking on the Seattle Mariners in the Emerald City, still scoreless in Citi Field. Now we're in the bottom of the second, and Jeff McNeil is up. No one on, no outs. Let's talk to the fans of the fan, though. My guy Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Keith, how you been, man?
Solid, bro. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, I kind of wanted to touch on, I really only got to catch the end of your monologue, but the whole, you know, Gallo and Hicks booing thing and everything, you know, you summed it up perfectly. You know, if you can't handle some flack, you can't handle some boos, some criticism, you know, let alone the biggest stage in the world of sports, you probably shouldn't even be in the league. I mean, it's simple boos. I mean, the way this guy was talking and acting, you would have thought like a bunch of fans followed him back to his house with like torches in their hands.
They didn't.
And, like, someone like mugged him on the way to his car. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it's kind of crazy, man. I think he, you know, just took it to another level. His comments about every time I see a Yankees hat or a Yankees fan, I'm like, this guy needs some therapy. The Yankees have sports therapists. They should have had him talking to somebody, because if you can't even look at a fan walking down the street with the pinstripes on without having an issue, like, that, there's a bigger issue there, and it's not the fans.
And I'm hearing, too, you're saying how, like, some fans at Yankee, at the stadium, they're trying to root him on, encourage him on, like, chanting his name in a supportive way, not, like, making fun of him.
Not everybody's a jerk, Ross. I hate that there's this, like, blanket over Yankees fans. Even on my MLB Network show today. So I guess, in the game last night between the Padres and the Giants, it ended 1-0 and the Giants won it. And I think they won with a play at the plate. And Padres fans threw...
Yeah, it got called back.
They threw stuff on the field. And, you know, my co-host joked, they're like, no, they didn't throw stuff on the field, did they? Like, they only do that in Yankee Stadium. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Fans are fans. They can throw beer cans on the field in any ballpark in baseball. But Yankees fans, that, you know, that whole thing with Cleveland got dramatized and are like, Yankees fans are scum. I can't believe they did that. They can do that
the
anywhere.
The whole thing with Verdugo with the baseballs.
It gets overhyped. There's even a video going on around right now of a Braves fan texting, and I guess a Mets fan was recording over his shoulder. He's in Citi Field talking about New Yorkers are the rudest fans. They're the worst people in the world. I hate it here. And it's like, relax.
We're not the worst. We're the most passionate. I mean, I see people saying they're all getting on all of us for, you know, booing Walker after Friday night. Why wouldn't we boo? And they're saying, well, he's having a great season. Yeah, well, he didn't have a great night. We're
but
not
he
booing
sucked
him for the
right away. He looked like Garrett
Cole.
They booed Garrett Cole last Wednesday before I even could get in the building.
You know, we don't boo him when he goes out and puts up 6, 7, 8 innings of 1-2-run, 8-hit ball, even less. He's been a great.
We expect better.
Ace on most days.
We expect better.
Yeah, I was saying, if you want to play without any consequences, any flack, you just want to go after, do your thing, and if you
go to Oakland,
we'll trade you to the
A's.
Go to Cincinnati. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You want to go play without any. Having to deal with the booze afterward, go play in the empty seats of Oakland.
It's a fair trade, Ross. It's a fair trade. Look at this Mets team, right? Daniel Vogelback shows up here. He's already a fan favorite. Why? Because he's hitting home runs. He's running hard. He's hustling. Mets fans love the guy right away. We don't want to hate any of our players. We don't want to hate anyone in those jerseys.
I'll give you another fan favorite real quick. People want him out year one. Edwin Diaz. They want him out year one, even year two. They give him another year. He still sucks. You know, they want him out faster than Hansel Robles. And you know what? Now 3 years later, we got people like Pat McAfee and a bunch of other people that don't even watch the sport, and they're replaying that trumpet video.
Of
him
course.
Going out to the mound with the trumpets.
And he
they
overcame all of that. He could have did an interview. Oh yeah, these fans hate me. It's not personal. We don't know you. We don't know you. We're
just passionate. Yeah.
We want to win.
Look at Lindor and Baez. One of them left first chance he got. The other one embraced the criticism, and now he's the top shortstop in the game.
Yeah,
so
you gotta go through it, man.
It
is what it
are.
Is. This is New York. It's tough for everybody. I'm not allowed to show up at my job and not do the job. If I got on this mic and I just said, bidi 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 bidi, and they'd be like, "Yo, get this guy out of here." Boo.
You want to do your job without criticism and hate? Go be an accountant or something.
Right.
It's perfect. For
when
it.
I first came into WFAN. I got a ton of hate. I got a ton of criticism before I even had my first show. Imagine me tucking my tail and being like, oh, no, they hate me. I'm not going to go
world.
On.
It's survival of the fittest, man. Now he's in L.A. Now he's raking. But you know what? You get paid to hit it, or at least in Gallo's case, try to hit a baseball because he can't do it to save his life. You get paid. At the end of the day, you get paid to hit a baseball, and you're acting like you got the hardest job in the world. Everyone hates you. Woo me. I'm the victim. I mean, give me a break, man.
You get paid.
The other
exactly.
day you're making millions.
You get millions of dollars to live in a nice high-rise apartment in Manhattan.
Yeah.
All we ask is that you don't strike out 3-4 times a game.
He still can't do it. And he goes home and feels sorry for himself. I don't know, man.
Right, and that's
it's
what I'm
wild.
Saying. In my opening, I read the tweet from Laura Albanese talking about Edwin Diaz and, you know, how he came back. And I mentioned Giancarlo Stanton. And then Jim from Haverstraw called and talked about Jeter. Like, no, this isn't new. Like, there's no new players that can show up and be like, oh, man, these fans. Like, it's gone on forever. I just don't know where we are in society where, like, we have this pity party for these millionaire ball players. You're playing a child's game for $10 million a year. Go out there and compete. If a bunch of 13-year-old kids at the stadium and grown men that have had 4 tall boys boo you, you're going to be all right.
Hey, you know what? You're only making it worse if you take the pity route, like you said. At least you could do guys like Stanton, Diaz, Lindor. You embrace it. You learn from it. You build off of it. You get better. You don't do anything about it, but weep and cry when
tough
you get back
love,
to your house.
Man. Tough love. Yeah. This is New York City. This is a hard place to exist.
It's a cruel world.
Hard place to make it. People don't make it. And if you get to be on the Mets, the Yankees, the Jets, the Giants, whatever it is, like. There's a standard of excellence. We're not sorry. We're not sorry. There's a standard of excellence. Either you come here to play, or we'll get you up out of here quickly.
Like you said, man, like what Tiki was saying, we want our teams to win. We're just passionate. We don't want to hate you as soon as you come here. Your talent, your performance is what makes you love you or hate you.
Yeah,
it's simple as that.
And that's why
Gallo was great. Yankee fans loved Gallo when he came here from Texas, and now they couldn't get rid of him fast enough.
Yeah, and that's why I played Tiki's clip. Ross, thanks for the call. When I watched that video on Twitter, I'm like, Tiki just off the top of his head talked to these New York football giants. He said, some of you are young, some of you have had some success, but he's like, the city wants to love you. This town wants to love you. We don't want to hate our teams, especially football. You get one day a week to watch your team play. You don't want to be miserable. You want them to win. And if these guys leave it out there on the field, they will win, and they will be successful, and they will be kings, and that's what we want. We want another parade. We want another champion. We want the drought to end here in New York City. Shout out to NYCFC. I know they did it. But we need one of the major sports teams in New York to bring home a chip.
Your teams, your station. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Let's keep on rocking, folks. Keith McPherson on the Fan checking back in. Thanks for rocking with me. I'm usually on after the Yankees post game, but since the Yankees are out west playing at 10:10, The Yankees pregame will start at 9:30, so you got me until then. Call me up, 877-337-6666. If there's anything you'd like to add to my show, anything we haven't talked about, anything you want to ask me about, let's go for it. The Mets are still scoreless. Cookie Carrasco is one out away from getting out of the third. And I'd like to take this time to tell you again about Battle of the Badges charity baseball game. The Mets and Ford present the Battle of the Badges charity baseball game on Thursday night, August 11th at 7 p.m. Game will take place at Citi Field as the FDNY team faces off against the NYPD team to benefit FDNY and NYPD charities. Teams will feature members of the FDNY and NYPD who played high school, college, and minor league baseball. Tickets are $20 and available at Mets.com/Battle of the Badges. Again, that's Mets.com/Battle of the Badges. Check that out. If you're available in two nights, Citi Field, $20. Go support a good cause. Go support our guys. I don't know if anyone from WFAN is playing in it. I think I heard BT and Tiki talking about whether they could participate in it or not. But I think that'll be a cool look, and I'm glad WFAN is involved. They might get some social media coverage of that. I think it'll be a cool look to see the firefighters and police officers playing in a game at Citi Field. I'm playing in a softball game this Saturday in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Bernie Williams celebrity softball game. I don't consider myself a celebrity, but I'm in the game with other celebrities and former ball players. I actually am going to take the day Friday to, I don't know, maybe go buy some cleats, buy a glove, go take some swings somewhere so I don't completely embarrass myself. But I'm prepared to embarrass myself. I'm not a baseball player. I haven't consistently played baseball since I was like 12. Shout out to my mom yesterday because I was saying like I wasn't good at baseball, I was good at football. It's hard to even remember that far back. Like, I think I was a good athlete. I know I played everything. I played baseball, I played basketball, I played football. And my mom said there were some politics involved, you know. Some of the other dads in town wanted their kids to shine. You know the old story. You know how it goes. And my mom tried her best, but I think it really only worked for us in football. She was involved in football with my sister cheerleading, and I think football, I just was, like, undeniable. In baseball, I think I was, like, you know, all right, because I was fast, I was athletic. I think I could hit a little bit, field decently. But football, once I played quarterback, once they put the ball in my hand playing quarterback, I was running around making plays, could throw, could scramble, could outrun people, and I started playing quarterback at 11, and then I played quarterback all the way through college, and then I switched. When I transferred from JMU, I played quarterback at JMU till age 19, and then I transferred to Monmouth at age 20, 21, and 22, and I was just trying to get on the field, so I switched to kick return, punt return, and wide receiver, trying to play a little slot receiver. Didn't have the foot speed, the quickness to play slot, and then I bumped out to X for a little bit, but then I broke my foot. Broke my foot. Rest in peace to my brother Sean, who broke my foot. Wrestling on my birthday. We had a few drinks, and we were wrestling outside the bar a little bit. We locked up. You know how you'll lock up arms. You'll lock arms, and we were up high, and he got the best of me, pushed me a little bit. My left foot. Maybe it was my right foot, but one of my foots slipped off the curb, cracked, and I had a fractured foot like Matt Carpenter. Worse than Matt Carpenter, though. My foot swole up and was purple that night, and I was young and drunk and stupid. I didn't go to the hospital. I just let it swell up, and then I woke up the next morning, and I was like, oh, no. My birthday's May 1st, so it was May, and I had to be ready for training camp first week of August, so you had the whole month of May to try and heal up, and I was already behind the eight ball, not going to the emergency room and getting that casted and treated or whatever. So then I had May, June, July, 3 months. That's why earlier when I was talking about Matt Carpenter's, they're expecting him to be back in 8 weeks. Maybe, you know, because he just took a ball off the top of his foot, but I know it took me about 3 months before I could even run. And then it was painful in training camp. I remember popping Advils and Tylenols to get through the pain just to run routes and stuff. But that slowed me down, and I don't know, you know, glory days. I was in school playing football. I was on a football scholarship. But I think that year is when I knew, I'm like, I got to focus on my grades, my books, and what I want to do as a career. And I was already in the communication department, radio and television, but that was the year that I locked in. I was like, I'm not going to go to the NFL. I'm not even going to get on the field with this broken foot, not being able to compete in training camp. But I was on WMCX, Monmouth University Radio, and Hawk TV at Monmouth University, and the radio club, and I was doing 3 hours a day in the summer of like 2011 on the radio, and then I was hosting like a music video show on Hawk TV, and you know, that's where I started. That's where I started getting reps. It didn't connect for me right away out of college, but I'm thankful that I did lock in and get my degree, because now I'm here hosting on WFAN. So a little story, a little background about me, all true, no fiction. Wouldn't lie to you. Okay, now we got some calls. Let's go back to the phones, talking all around New York sports. Mets are on. Yankees are coming up. Giants and Jets are in training camp. We're hearing little things coming out of training camp. But Thursday, the Giants will be back on the field. You'll actually get to see a preseason game. We'll have it. We'll be covering it here on WFAN. We'll have the broadcast streaming on the Odyssey app and playing on WFAN 101.9 FM. But yeah, also we talked a little Nets. Kevin Durant. And what I'll say, man, you know, I just met KD, too. I met KD at the Home Run Derby. Couldn't find the guy in Brooklyn. Couldn't find the guy in Manhattan. And I run into KD leaving the Home Run Derby in L.A. You know, I'm a Kyrie fan. I'm a KD fan. And I've been a fan of these guys before I even thought they'd play for the Nets. And when the Nets went this superstar route, right, the Nets make the clean sweep. They get KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre Jordan. I'm like, wow, they're going to be playing for the Nets in Brooklyn. I could go see them. Didn't think it would blow up in less than 3 years, and these guys haven't even played that many games. What did they accomplish? They got swept last year. They got bounced in the second round the year before. If it's over, it's over. I think Kyrie wants to be here, but it's clear KD doesn't. The saga continues with Josiah, Sean Marks, Kevin Durant, and the Brooklyn Nets, and we'll see what Jalen Brunson and the Knicks have in store.